All right, Potties, you're making a difference because of you and the people that listen to the show on Way FM terrestrially, if you want to call it that. We have sent over 47,000 meals to the people that are struggling in Ukraine after they've been displaced because of the war. That is pretty stinking amazing. And I love the fact that you're getting to partner with us in ministry right now in a very tangible way. You're not only helping feed people, but you're also making sure that they get the gospel as well. So thank you so much. But sadly, as the war stretches on, the need is still there and becoming greater. Here's the great news, though. It only takes 25 cents to send one meal. So for about the cost of a dinner out for you and your family, you could make sure that a couple hundred meals are sent to Ukrainian refugee families. Can you imagine what a relief that is for moms who have no idea how they're going to feed their kids from day to day? This is truly ministering to the orphans and widows, like the Bible says in James. And we'd love to keep that going and send another 25,000 meals to Ukraine in just the next couple weeks. I'm in. I'll never ask you to do something I'm not willing to do myself. So if you want to help out, just text the word WALLY to 91999. And again, thank you so much for even considering this. And let's make a difference. Let's do something huge today. Again, text the word WALLY to 91999. Welcome to the Wally Show Aftercast, all the stuff we did not get to during the course of the show today. We've had some potties come by lately, and every time the potties come by, I always ask them, okay, which do you like better, the podcast or the Aftercast? Why do you listen? And I'm always amazed that people are like, oh yeah, I really like the Aftercast, and they'll talk about different things, or I kind of like when you rant about stuff, and you know, I'm always amazed and humbled that people listen to this, so thank you so much for being a potty. And if you're ever like, oh man, how can I help out? If you tell somebody about this thing, like, and help it grow, that would be huge. That's all I ask. There's you know, it's not a subscription thing, but if you like it, share it for sure, because that definitely helps us out. Man, it's a hard news day. This is the blessing and the curse of doing the radio show like it is now, is, you know, we're trying to be a escape from all of the news, and there's part of me that's like, oh, is that copping out? And but then there gets to be a point where you're like, what do I have to say about this anymore? You know, we have so many shootings, and, you know, and it's like, well, God is good, and he can use evil for good, and you're going to see good stories come out of this. And by the fifth one of the year, you're like, all right, well, what else is there to talk about?
Yeah, you know? One, it's just, there's nothing, it doesn't feel like there's anything new to say in terms of how do you continue to give hope,
right?
Other than saying, I mean, you really can't say the repeated stuff, but yeah, it's exhausting to do.
And I realize there's truth in that, you know, God does redeem bad situations. Absolutely. But yeah, it gets repetitive, sadly. And it's become all too common. The shooting at the 4th of July parade, we saw a couple people being interviewed about this, and a lady who saw the shooter on the roof, and then she ran into her husband's store because he had a store right down there on the main street, and they were, you know, trying to pull people in and rescue people. And then you hear other stories of people that are like, yeah, I saw a lady behind me get shot, and we just kept running, you know, and it's horrific. And I can see, like, my friends were talking to their daughter the other day, and having a kid's been one of the greatest joys of my life. But they were asking their daughter, how many kids do you think you're going to have? And she goes, I honestly don't know if I'll have any. And I'm curious, with the world coming unglued more, if more kids in a younger generation are of that mindset, you know, and there's always been an element of that. Like, everybody thinks the world is the worst it's ever been. And, you know, and it just keeps getting worse. But she was like, yeah, I don't know if I want to bring kids into this world. And my wife and I, we kind of had a similar vibe back in the day. See how I made it all youthful vibe.
Look at you, like, your vibes.
I know, I'm good vibes only today. But I was like, I did, and neither one of us wanted to have kids. And then she changed her mind when her dad got sick. Something flipped in her. And then one of her best friends had a kid, and it started us down that path. Now, I'm glad we went there for sure. But boy, I don't know if I'd make the same decision today. I just don't. There's too many things now like this. It's gotten so random, and doing everything right in your life, and all of a sudden some knucklehead disturbed idiot chooses to make a statement, and does it by hurting other people, you're like, what in the world? No one saw it coming. It's always the, well, that happens in other places. I think that's the jarring thing about it. Uvalde, you know, like all of these problems lately, Buffalo, the supermarket, I forget what it was called, but the supermarket, like that one it being race motivated, like there's so much tension and you're kind of like, well, what do you do? Now, does this affect you, Gavin, a little bit? Like as you are in conversation, because it is a negotiation when you're young with your wife and that clock that's ticking.
Yeah.
Does this weigh into your thinking at all?
I would say that it has not so far. I think that in my brain, I do believe things are and feel a lot crazier than they have in the past. But it also does feel like bad things happen no matter what per se.
And they will.
And they're going to continue to happen. And my point of view is that I feel like I can continue to help be, you know, light in the world. And I feel like having a kid is something that's going to allow me to continue to, you know, move on and kind of impact the next generation that comes after me. Not that I'm having a kid to impact the next generation, but I get to have a child that I, in essence, get to, you know, help along with that. And so Haley's not been worried about it. I haven't been worried about it. I think that we're still probably a year plus off. I would say I'm more stressed about having a kid because I just got a second dog than I am about the country
right now.
But I do, I will say I am, I'm heartbroken for these people because we were saying earlier before we started the show is that it's, you know, the scary part is that you just don't know. It's just random.
Yeah.
Like you could, you know, you go to any situation thinking, oh, I'm totally fine. But like, I'm sure all of these people thought the same thing.
Oh, absolutely. It's never in my town. Like, we had a bombing downtown that they're just now, like, 2 years later, kind of starting to open some things back. And that was always the thing, too. Never thought twice about it, you know, here in Nashville. And then all of a sudden, there it is. You know, I think that's, I think that's hard. And I feel for these little kids. Like, they're talking about different kids that were at this parade. And they asked this one mom, like, how's your kid doing? And she said, I asked some probing questions. And then I asked him, you know, what'd you think about yesterday? And he's like, it was a great day. I got to ride my bike. And she's like, that's what he remembers. And she's like, I hope that's his only memory from this thing.
Yeah.
That he didn't fully, because he was young, he didn't fully grasp everything, you know? And because, again, kids walk out of this stuff and, like, what is hitting them? What is landing? Because they are so observant. Kids are like wicked observant when we think they're not listening and they internalize things. And what do you tell your kids? I mean, because everybody says like, it won't happen here. And I never said that to my daughter because I couldn't look her in the eye and say that, like, because it's not true.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, like, and so we had a couple school shooting scares right near where we live, you know? And it's like, I never wanted to be a dad that lied to his daughter about things and about life. Mm-hmm. I wanted to be very honest with her, but then I wanted to couch that with what she could handle at her age, you know? And so that's a tricky conversation to have. And then you're kind of like, well, this is why, because you don't ever know what's going to happen, why it's important to be right with God, be right with your people in your life. And you can't live in fear. That's the biggest thing. And the message I had for her, it's the message in life still today. Even as I'm talking about this and you go, well, do you want to have kids or not? If you choose to live in fear, then the fear wins, you know? Mm-hmm. And if you choose to let that alter your decisions, and that I have that kind of rule with my daughter too. It's like, try things. You might not like it. It might terrify you, but try it. You might find something you love out of it. And if you don't, then you know, mm-hmm. Okay, I don't want to do parasailing ever again, you know, or whatever. Because she was a real timid child, mm-hmm. and I wanted her to be like, more experiential. I wanted her to experience more things in life. All of that said, she's 24 and still can't ride a bike, but...
Wait, really?
Oh, she still can't.
Oh.
And it's really sad. Like,
you're a biker.
Yes. I didn't know that. I put her on my wife's bike. Like, she came home like a year ago or whatever, so she would have been like 23 or something, 22.
Oh, no.
I think she's 22. And I go to put her on my wife's bike, and I'm like holding the bike like she was eight, and I'm like, okay, let's pedal, let's pedal. She's like, no, I don't want to do this. No, I don't want to. Like, you're an adult. You have balance. What is wrong with you? Ride the bike! And I'm getting frustrated, and it was so funny. And then she quit. She's like, no. I'm not doing this.
I feel like you can have patience when you're, your kid's five.
Yeah!
I think I was learning at five, and, you know, I fell and all that, yeah. And I remember that there's like a thing you have to get past when it comes to just keep pushing down, keep pushing down on the pedals. And you have to get past that. Seems like it would actually be easier to do at 5 than 24.
I don't know. No, at 24 you have
your motor skills,
cognitive
right?
reality. Yeah, and you go and you know if this starts to go wrong, I'll just step off, you know?
Yeah.
And
slow down. You have brakes.
Yeah. So she definitely,
really?
That's the one weird thing about her.
Do you think that someday you'll be teaching a grandkid how to ride a bike? Because you will have to, because she can't, unless her husband.
Yeah.
Hopefully her husband can.
Hopefully she doesn't marry a theater kid, because he won't be able to ride a bike. And no, she actually, I don't know much about this kid. She went on a couple of dates with this one guy. I don't know if I'm supposed to talk about this, but she didn't listen to the aftercast. And so he seems nice enough. And then we're asking her a bunch of questions. We're like, yeah, we want to know a little bit about him and stuff. But he's like an engineer that wants to work at Disney as an
Good
engineer.
Stuff.
And I'm like, absolutely.
Good start. And the word engineer is excellent start for your bank account.
I'm like, as you're a theater major, marry well. You know, obviously
excellent.
Marry for love first. But if he happens to have a marketable skill, that would be lovely.
I don't know a lot of engineers that are not
hurting. Yeah.
Hurting.
Yeah. I know. Yeah. Like, it's weird. Like, a lot of the people in my life are engineers. Like, my best friend, engineer, his family is, there are other engineers in that. Then you've got my brother-in-law is an engineer. His three sons are all engineers. Mm. Or one's a doctor now. He went a different route. Two out of the three. Yeah, still pretty smart.
Good
you know,
job.
He does like research for diseases and everything. But it's really strange. Like, a bunch of the engineers I know, because you think of them as like stuffy, and a bunch of the ones that I know are wicked funny, mm-hmm. and they're very analytical. But they're and maybe that's just because those are the people I gravitate towards. But they're really funny, and I enjoy the time with them.
Sure, most of my. I mean, like 80% of the friends I had at college and still talk to today were engineers of some sort.
Really?
They, for the most part, I think do fit the bill of guys that you're like, they're kind of reserved and a little bit more, polos and jeans.
No,
but like most of them are fun, and I got to know them and over time. But if you met them at first, they would be sort of calm and collected. But man, all of them super successful at this point. But I do think that the work they do, I'm never going to be envious of the work they do. I could never do it. I saw the homework they did.
Yeah.
My buddy put in, I think last week he said he put in like 70 hours for the week because they're short-staffed.
Yeah.
It sounds awful to me.
I love the concept of like physics and some of the fun things of physics or engineering. Like, if I knew how mathematically to solve different problems, it would make, because I like to build things, it would make the building of different things easier, less trial and error for me. So I have to do a lot of modeling of smaller things. If I'm going to build a really big, nice thing, I'll build it small first because the wood costs or the steel costs are so much. And so, like, I wish I had that kind of knowledge. Like, my buddy can sketch it out, and he can figure out the math and all the stuff before he does it. Mm-hmm. And me, I have to wing it. So I wish I could do that, but I'm so weak in math, I can't even remotely begin. That was never an option. Engineering was never an option for me.
Yeah.
It was a good theory, but it was never an option.
I got to AP calculus in high school, and that's when I realized that I was like, oh, this is not the world for me anymore, because it was just like certain symbols and lines and do this and that. And I'm like, sitting there, I'm like, why would I want to do this?
Yeah. Algebra and geometry were my highest math. We took algebra first, like in ninth grade, mm-hmm. and then I took geometry, then something else, and then like they called it senior math. It was
I
like,
remember stuff
you're
like
cute.
That.
We're gonna pat you on the head. Yeah. You're a communications major.
It's like you still have to do this just to finish this whole high school thing, but it's like your last hurrah.
Yeah, there was no way I was passing anything above that. Like my daughter had calc and stuff like that when she was in in high school, and I'm like, baby, I love you. I can teach you to ride a bike if you'd ever want to learn, but I cannot help you with your calculus homework.
She did that and then went to theater.
Yeah, I know, right?
What, like, was she doing?
Yeah, she's a smart kid. Like, she can do math. Like, she did not get that from me, and then she ended up in theater, which is
well
great.
Well done.
All right, so let's get on to some other, like, least of these kind of things. Okay, so Stranger Things 4, season 4. Stranger Things, I guess, is a really popular Netflix series. I've watched like 3 episodes. I kind of get it. I'm kind of into it. I'm not like, oh, I got to watch all of this. But season 4, they split it in half, and then they had these 2 really long seasons, but or long episodes to end it out, which you're finished with it now, right?
Yes.
Is it done, or does it look like there's another season?
Oh, no, there's going to be another season.
Wow.
There's going to be what should be the last season. I think we thought going in this was going to be the last season, but nope, there's a cliffhanger.
Okay, well, see, they did something really cool. For the trailer for Stranger Things 4, they took one of my favorite bands, Journey, and they took the song Separate Ways, and they mixed it with the theme of Stranger Things, which I would have never thought would work.
Okay.
Yeah, because it's kind of minor-y feeling and stuff, and the tempos, but there was a company that they had the vocal tracks, and they did like a mashup of it, and I was amazed at how good it sounded.
Oh, I remember.
Yeah, do you remember this? Yeah, it's so good.
It was really good.
And I like that part, too. That's not where it goes. Normally it goes into a hook, you know, there. But really, really kind of cool. And it works because Journey was an 80s band, and this is like 80s.
Oh, it does match it really well.
See how that works.
I'd forgotten, and I remember just hearing it and thinking, oh, that's cool. I like didn't think in my head, oh, that's Stephen Perry.
Well, people were speculating whether that was the actual Steve Perry or if it was his replacement who's touring with Journey now, because it sounds like they re-recorded it, but they didn't. They just took old Steve Perry tracks.
That's awesome.
A company that did it, and it is actually Steve Perry. But one of the guys was telling the story. He mastered it, and he got a phone call, and somebody was telling him about, you know, hey, maybe we should raise the vocals here, and let's push this over here and maybe do it like this. And he thought it was somebody from Netflix, you know, critiquing it. But apparently someone had sent it to Steve Perry, and Steve Perry called the guy and was like, I love this. Just a couple things we could tweak. And at the end of the call, he was like, hey, who is this, by the way? And he's like, this is Steve Perry from Journey.
That's an unforgettable phone
call.
Yeah,
he said Steve was like super cool. And, you know, and Steve actually said, this is how I always heard the song in my head. I don't know if
really?
I believe that.
Like much more epic?
Yeah, that's exactly it. More dramatic. And moody, I guess.
That's awesome.
I thought that was pretty cool.
It sounds awesome.
And then finally, Carrie Underwood is reliving a dream. She says she was actually in London, and of all the bands, like, because artists go to see other artists play, mm-hmm. and sometimes they'll do these collabs. Oh, you're in town here. Why don't you come sing with us? Stuff like that. So Carrie Underwood gets up on stage and sings with a band that I never in a billion years would have expected her to do a guest slot with. She pops up on stage to 70,000 people at a Guns N' Roses
no
show.
Way.
Yeah, and bust this out. Sweet child of mine, oh mine. Yeah, I was like, oh, that's kind of cool. Yeah, there are those bands that, like, I'm curious if she listened to them back in the day, because then she's a country, you know, mm-hmm. massive country artist. Like, but there are certain bands, like, that are kind of crossover artists for, regardless of the genre, you know them, you're aware of them, and you probably listen to them. Country artists do that all the time in their songs. They'll reference non-country acts, you know, that they listen to and things like that in some of their songs. So it kind of goes both ways. But man, 70,000 people to see Guns N' Roses?
That's a lot of people.
Are you kidding me?
I wonder how many people who are there excited to see Guns N' Roses were then also pumped that Carrie Underwood was part of their experience.
She got a big pop.
Yeah.
Taylor Swift used to do that too. Like when she did her big stadium tours, she always got somebody from, it was a big artist who was like from that town or happened to be in town to come up and join her on stage. And I remember I was at a Taylor Swift show.
Yeah, you were.
I was because my daughter loved herself some old country Taylor Swift. And so we went there and I forget who it was, but somebody came out on stage with her and I was like, oh, that's kind of cool. I like those collaborations. Mm-hmm. I always think it's kind of cool because it sounds different, but I like people that speak the language of music. And when you see somebody doing something that they're not known for, but it still sounds good, you're like, oh, that's cool. I wish we could do that.
And the world is like so competitive. Competitive.
Competitive.
Where you're just like, oh, I want to be the best. I want to be, you know, the most important artist here. Mm-hmm. But I like the idea of them saying, I want to share stage time. Like these people are here to see me, but like, look who's here. Let's give them something else, something extra. Go above and beyond.
Yeah. So there you go. That's why Carrie wasn't in church on Sunday, I guess.
Sure.
So I was looking for her. Yeah. It was so funny. We were at church for like a couple weeks ago, and I had my head down. I had walked in, and I was getting my phone out, I think, for Monday school, and was doing something, and the worship started, and the song, Weary Traveler, comes on. And I'm like, holy cow, I've not heard this guy before. This guy's good. Oh, my goodness. He is killing this song. And I look up, and it's actually Jordan St. Cyr who sings it. I forgot he told me when we had him in, he was like, oh, yeah, I go to your church. And I'd forgotten, but now he's on the praise and worship team.
Oh, is he really?
Yeah,
oh,
and he's just owning it, man.
A little extra special pop there.
What was really funny, though, and this isn't to, like, say anything, like, ill of anybody on the praise and worship team, but, like, when you do it for a living, there, you're at a different place. You're mm-hmm. at another echelon, you know. And he's not even a huge artist, but when you play every day, day in, day out, like there is a presence that you get from that, mm-hmm. and a skill that you get from that, and you could just watch him. Like anybody that didn't know who he was that day could have been like, oh, that guy's a pro.
Yeah.
Like he was really good.
Yeah.
But the people in front of me thought it was Jordan
Feliz.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah. The guy looks back to me. He's like, my wife thinks that's Jordan Feliz. I'm like, no, it's Jordan St. Cyr. He doesn't have a hat and long hair on.
Yeah, it's like 10% of his hair. I will say I do think there's a big difference. So like the main worship pastor on our staff, who actually sounds exactly like the lead singer of the Irish band, but not We Are Messengers.
Ren Collective.
He sounds exactly like that guy, which is really cool.
At your church?
Yeah.
I wonder who that is.
His name is Joel.
Okay.
I don't know if he goes down. I think he sounds like him. I could be wrong, but there's a big difference between him and the stage that he, when he commands it, versus the, you know, the 20-something-year-old volunteer girl who's kind of just doing the one sway here.
Yeah.
And like crushing, super stiff. Crushing it vocally, though.
Well, one of the other, because you and I go to the same church body, but we have like five campuses or whatever, but one of the other guys, is it Dave? I'm drawing a blank, is from...
Run Kid Run.
Yeah. And they were great. I loved them back in the day.
Loved them. I was like seventh grade. Yeah. That was such a fun band.
Yeah, that was a great Christian band. And then our main worship pastor is Leo Hailstrom, just holding it down from New Song back in the day.
It is cool to be
in. He's great, though.
Cool
I love
him. It's cool to be in Nashville. Like, you do get like the occasional like person that you wouldn't think would just be leading you in worship, but they are. And Carrie Underwood's at your church.
It's interesting.
It's
like,
fun.
They've never tapped her to like come up and sing ever the entire time. All the time she's gone there, she's never sang once. But I could imagine, my wife was like, I don't want to sit near her. Like, can you imagine like how bad you'd feel about your voice? Natalie Grant used to go to my other church and she was great, but she very rarely did anything up on stage because this was her time to be in worship, you know. But yeah, you'd sit next to her and you're like, dang it, man. Like, you just don't want to sing.
What is your volume at church?
I don't sing.
Okay, I don't either.
No, not a bit.
I maybe will, like, not mouth a few words or something like that, and I'll sit there, and I'm thinking about it. I'm hearing the words.
Yeah.
But, like, for the most part, at a younger age, I would definitely try to belt it out when I thought maybe I had a good voice. Didn't. But now it's like, it's not as fun.
I'm hands in the pocket.
Nice.
Like, just kind of watching everything. Mm-hmm. It's like, for me, everybody has a different place. Like for a lot of people, worship is the thing, and the songs are the things that usher them into worship. For me, I have gotten to the point in my life where I actually, because I used to like the music more than the preaching, but then you go to a good church that has a good preacher, you're like, oh, I actually like this. Mm-hmm. I'm learning. And so for me, because I like to learn stuff, and so I like learning about my faith and everything. And so like, that's what I look forward to more so than hearing people sing the songs that we play all week long.
That is true. Know? I do agree with that. I do think that I've started to feel worship a little less and less as we go in, where it's not about, you know, how they're performing or how they're doing it and it all. But yeah, you're right. We hear this like 5 days a week. And I will, what was I going to say? Is Marty then, does she
sing it out? Love, that's her favorite part. The other day, this last Sunday, because our friends were in town, and Marty and her friend went to take their kids to the kids' church, and their kids didn't want to go. They were scared. I understand.
Oh, yeah.
But it's taken longer and longer, and I'm texting Marty. She's not texting me back. So I finally left to go find her to see if I could help with the situation so she could go in for worship, because mm-hmm. she really loves worship. That's what she hated the most about online church during COVID, was worship by yourself in the living room with your hand raised is really weird. And for me, I was like during worship, I was doing email and getting caught up for work and making bagels and getting ready. Like, that's pregame for me.
The good old days.
I know. I loved it. Are you kidding me? It was great.
Have you ever in your life done the hand up thing?
Once or twice? Very rarely. And every once in a while, because our church is not a very charismatic church, mm-mm. but every once in a while you'll get the worship leader that's like, okay, now raise your hands to God. And, and I'm like, that should be the thing that's not... And maybe you're just letting it be encouraged to let people know, hey, it's okay if you do this. But it feels more like less of an advisement that you can, and more of a declarative you need to. And yeah. I'm like, that should be totally where it comes from, just you and you're really in that moment, not because it's the thing to do at a rock show kind of thing, you know?
We had a girl back when I was in college at the church I would go to, who would not just throw a hand up, she would... dance.
Yes.
And she would do it in like between people. Yes. It's not like we put her on the end of the aisle so that she could stand out and do her own thing. She would just sit there and do this like weird interpretive stuff that, again, was her mode of worship. And therefore, I don't think that that's wrong. I don't see anything. I don't have any problem with it.
Right.
It's just the occasional hand that gets close to your face and you're just kind of like,
right.
How about some personal space?
How about
not, please?
My daughter, when she was at church with us, and she has a really great voice, and she's trained in theater, and little girl can belt. She's five foot nothing. Like, she's 5'2", I think. And she can belt.
That's awesome.
But it's funny because when she's at church and she loves God and she belts to the point where you're like, hey. Because you've always got that one person that sings louder, holds that note longer than everybody. And she doesn't do that, but she sings really powerfully and really loudly. And you're like, oh boy, we could dial this back just a notch. You know? I remember one time, I went to a concert. This is a Christian concert back in the day. Can you look and see if we have any of there? It's Rick, R-I-C-K, Rick Kua, C-U-A. Just see if we have anything. I don't know if we've ever talked about this or loaded it in.
R-I-C-K and then
Kua.
C-O.
C-U-A.
C-U-O.
C-U-A. I'm just curious.
Oh, wear your colors.
There we go. I thought we had something before. Okay, so put this up.
Okay, Rick Kua.
Thank you.
Rick
Kua. So this is Rick Kua from back in the day.
We're gonna raise it up, our standard. Shout it out, our cry.
Okay, so Rick Kua, he was like in some other like mainstream band like Blackfoot or something. I forget what it was. But then he became a Christian and he started doing like this Christian artist thing. And he was already older at the time and he was a bass player, so already three times removed from anybody cool in the band. Like, I go to this church that was having a Rick Kua concert. I go, what in the world?
That's awesome.
Yeah, and so I had already known about him. So I figure I'm the only one that knows about him, you know? And so I get there and I pay to get in and I'm enjoying every minute of this. And so I'm singing songs like that. Lift, lift your hands, you know? And I'm like, just going at it. And I was in a band at the time. And so like, I'm just killing it. The girl in front of me turns around and goes, "Hey, we paid to hear him sing, not you." Just leveled me.
Crushing.
Like completely, so crushing. Because she was about my age. She was cute. And it was just like, ugh. It's like you reached into my soul and removed it and then just rang it out on the floor for everyone to see. It was so bad and so humiliating. And maybe that's why I don't sing at church anymore. That girl undid me all those years ago.
She has scarred you.
Oh, that's absolutely.
That's such a bummer. And it's funny because, in essence, it was worship. It was worship music. And
you're a
she's
rock show.
Shutting your form of worship down. Yep. What a bummer.
Killed my vibe. Just killed my vibe. I almost gave up music after that.
No, good thing you
I
didn't.
Probably should have. Oh, left. Man. All right. Your hands, come
That's
on!
So funny.
Let's do little birthdays. You have anything
yes,
for me?
Yes, I do. I've got Jenica Clark.
Oh,
she
that's
is
a cool name.
Saying a birthday to her twin sister. Oh. Gail.
Hello, Gail.
She is a great sister and a friend.
But apparently Gail did not get Jenica a birthday.
Oh, I don't see the opposite of that.
No, it did not Whoopsie. Go both ways. You're the better sister, Jenica.
That's funny. Melissa, the other Wally Show historian, said happy birthday, America. Right on.
Nice. I forgot about that.
Yesterday. Yeah. And then Monica is wishing her husband, Brian, a 30th birthday. He's turning 30. We absolutely adore your show. We think you guys are a hoot.
Thank you.
Love the faith-based, family-friendly content.
Nice.
Her question was, when was a time that you forgot someone's birthday?
Oh, boy. I'm pretty good about it. I'm trying to remember if I ever did. I always like when somebody's not here for the birthday. Okay, we have a lady that works here, Ruth, and she's super sweet. And she came in, her birthday was on Friday, and she wasn't going to be here the day before, and she was leaving. And so she had come in, and Betty is like, "Oh, Ruth isn't going to be here." I'm like, "If you're not here on your birthday, we don't have to get you anything." And I was kind of kidding, but then kind of not, because I'm like, if someone's not there on your birthday, it's like you get a pass at work, you know? And it's less forgotten than it is just celebrated when people aren't here.
That's funny, yeah.
Have you ever forgotten Haley's birthday?
No, not Haley's. I would never dream of doing that.
No.
I forgot my brother's birthday 5 days ago.
Oh!
And it was funny because I was talking to my parents on Sunday just a couple days ago, and I was sitting there and they were like, "Oh, went to dinner for Josh's birthday," and I was like, "Oh no, I totally forgot about him." And he's like a quiet guy, doesn't shove anything out into the world, so I'm all that. And he's never sent me a message on my birthday, so there's not this
you don't owe him
there's
then.
Not this world where we do that for each other per se. Love the guy, but we do not need to talk very often. Which I hope someday that I'm still going to see my brother in respects when we're older. But for now, he just lives at home in New Mexico. So I see him when I go see family.
I don't do that. I don't do birthday texts or anything with anybody in my family typically. I've done a few with my brother. But like my sister and I, Marty talks with her more than I do, like one of my sisters. Mm-hmm. And so she'll wish her happy birthday. But Marty's brother always wishes me happy birthday. And so then you're
say
like,
thank you. And
yeah, you're
move
like,
on.
"Hey, man, thanks. Appreciate it." And then his birthday is like 9 days after mine. So then I'm like, I have to, "Hey, happy birthday." You know, sometimes I think birthdays are more problematic when everybody thinks they're doing you a favor by wishing you happy birthday, but all the fringe people that aren't really in your life every day
don't need it.
Right. But then you have to feel like you have to respond. And you're like, "Hey, guy I haven't talked to in a year since my last birthday," you know, like, "thanks." So that's always like, ugh. But all right. Well, with that happiness of the birthdays, that's going to do it for your Aftercast for today. And as always, thanks for being a potty.